message is called Overcoming the Dark Side. For Star Wars people out there, sorry, I'm not going to preach on Star Wars. It's just a catchy title, which talks about a theme that's going to be a little deeper, Overcoming the Dark Side. But before I get started, I know everyone asks me, what's happening in the Philippines? I'll give you a very super, super quick update, because over the next 3 months, we'll be rolling out a lot of updates. So very simply, things are going great. You want to find out more? April, is April here this morning? Second service. Luke's wife, April, is helping me. She's a volunteer with Hope for the Nations now, and she is helping me write stories. And so she's written her first article. It's going to be on hopeforthenations.com/Philippines. So check that out if you can in the week. Also, I'll be posting it on my Facebook page and also the Hope for the Nations Philippines Facebook page. So you'll find out a lot more there then, so I don't have to say that now. Whew, now that's out of the way. God is good. I got to tell you just a little story that kind of sets the stage, a story about Todd and Harry. Todd and Harry were best friends, and they had the summer of their life, Todd and Harry did, in northern BC one summer, and they had such a great time that they didn't want to ever leave as friends. And the time came when Harry, who was a heron, a bird, and Todd, who was a frog, unlikely combination, but they became very good friends. And the time came where the heron, a scattering of heron. They had to fly south. It was getting too cold. They said, Todd, it's getting way too cold. We got to go. We got to get out of here. And Todd's like, man, I can't leave you guys. You guys are awesome. Man, this sucks. You go. But hey, if I come up with an idea, can I come with you? And so the heron go, okay, well, if you give a really good idea, I'll think about it. So then, you know, Todd's thinking like crazy. He comes up with this idea. He goes back to him and says, hey, if you get a little piece of wood and you put it in your mouth and another piece of wood and the other piece of mouth, then maybe I can clamp onto the piece of wood and you guys can fly off and I can fly down south with you guys. And it'd be awesome. We could hang out forever. And so they thought about it and said, hey, this is a pretty good idea. And so, you know, so Harry the heron puts a piece of wood in his mouth and his friend puts the piece of wood in his mouth and Todd clamps on as the frog and they take off. And what do you know? It works. It's a flying frog. And they're flying all the way south. Half a day later, they're still flying way up in the air. Todd is having the day of his life. This is awesome. He's hanging out with his friends. He's flying. Like, wow, this is awesome. Then another scattering of heron come flying over, and they look down, and they say, hey, guys, look, it's a flying frog. And so the leader comes down, and he goes, what is it? This is amazing. I have never in my life seen such an incredible, a flying frog. You guys are geniuses. This is so amazing. Whose brilliant idea is this that decided to do this? And Todd the frog was so excited and pride was welling up and he goes, mine, mine. And the frog, sorry if there are children in the room. It will tie in with the message a little bit later. We're going to be reading from Jeremiah chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, we'll open up to Jeremiah chapter 17. And as I read, actually first I want to say a word and then you repeat after me. So if I say Todd, you say, okay, you guys got it. Jeremiah 17 verses 5 I'm going to start at. But first I'm going to say the word cursed. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Shrub. Look, he is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Tree. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out his roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The Lord. I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, and give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are great. And Lord, you are so worthy. And this morning we come to you, we surrender, God. We give our all to you because you are so worthy. You know all things, God. And today we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of our lives. And we pray that you would give us a heart that is fertile to receive your word, eyes to see the truth, Lord God, and courage to rise up and follow you, Lord God. So we offer ourselves today living sacrifices because you are good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The day started off like a pretty typical day in paradise. I was in Maui a number of years ago back on a business trip with my father. We'd just been in Hong Kong, Taiwan, on the way home stop in Maui. And I decided one morning to get onto my really cool air mattress. I had a deluxe 80s style air mattress. And I went off into the water, into the ocean, deep blue sea, and I thought, oh, this is awesome. And I just had such an enjoyable moment that I fell asleep on my air mattress in the sea in Maui. And I don't know how long I fell asleep for, because when I woke up, I was like, wow, where am I? Like, where is the shore? Like, I was that far out, like, I could barely see the shore in the distance. And of course, I'm remembering, okay, people, this was 1989, 1990, people had actually been eaten by sharks or died, killed by sharks. So I was like, okay, don't panic. Ah! But then I was drifting, and I had no idea where I was. But I saw the shore, and of course, I'm just trying to make my way to the shore. And there's a little bit of current in Maui. Eventually, happy story, I found myself back to the beach where I started from, but it was a long process. Because I didn't recognize a lot of the beaches. A lot of the beaches look the same. They're kind of white sand and, you know, trees and stuff. But I was adrift. And for a long time, I was worried and I was concerned. But I eventually found my bearing and I survived. This is actually just months before I came to know Jesus. So I'm really glad that the sharks didn't get me then. But I was adrift. Our purpose number one, our point number one in overcoming the dark side is without a purpose, we flounder. Is there going to be anything up there? Okay, good. Oh, good. Without a purpose, we flounder. And floundering kind of means we don't thrive, we don't flourish, we just sort of, we kind of just flounder. Flounder means to be unsure about what we say or do. It's the opposite of flourish. We flop along aimlessly. Kind of like when I play cricket. And when I know there's some cricketers probably in the room. It's a sport that's kind of like baseball, but it's nothing like baseball. And every time I play, I try to play like baseball, and I lose badly, and I flounder at cricket. So don't ever ask me to play cricket, because I'll actually be a liability to your team. But anyways, that's to flounder, to not really thrive. And I was floundering, I was drifting when I was on an air mattress off the coast in Maui. I came across a Forbes article recently, 8 Reasons Why People Feel Lost. Number one, the author says, is drift syndrome. And simply says, we just drift along with the tides and end up wherever the tide takes us. Kind of like when I was on my air mattress. Interestingly, the other 3 top 8 were too busy to pursue important passions, so too busy, not really having a clear purpose, and no social support. And that kind of frames a lot of what I'm going to talk about this morning. But picture a tumbleweed. You know what a tumbleweed is? Maybe you've seen one live in person if you've lived in Kamloops or a desert. There aren't a lot of tumbleweeds here in North Vancouver. But it's like a weed that doesn't have any root system, and when the wind comes, it just tumbles and it goes wherever the wind and the elements lead it. And in many ways, sometimes our culture is a bit like a tumbleweed. It's not rooted to truth. It's not rooted to morality, and it kind of goes wherever the people want it to go, and it kind of goes. And Jeremiah, who we're going to be talking about a little bit later, but Jeremiah also agrees with this when he says in verse 17, chapter 6, he says that he is like a tumbleweed, meaning the man or the woman who trusts in man and not God, and makes trusting his own flesh his strength. He says he or she is like a tumbleweed. That's in the Message version of the Bible. He's like a tumbleweed. He's like a tumbleweed on the prairie, out of touch with the good earth. He lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. It's like a tumbleweed. And our lives can also at times feel like a tumbleweed, where we may not have clarity. We may not feel rooted and grounded, and we're just sort of going with the flow. We flounder. Jeremiah. Some parallels between Jeremiah's culture and ours today. As I mentioned, our culture can be a bit like a tumbleweed, kind of going with the flow, floating adrift, disconnect ourselves from a healthy root system. And that was the culture back in Jeremiah's day. They had abandoned the word of God. They abandoned the laws of Moses, and they were doing their own thing. And Jeremiah was a young man. You remember him? He was called to be a prophet to the nations, and he kind of was insecure about that, but eventually he said yes, and God used him powerfully. But it was into a culture and an age where people really weren't taking God seriously at all. Jeremiah was ultra courageous as he preached the word of truth. He was ultra emotional. He was an emotional prophet. And he was ultimately obedient. And in our culture today, these are three attributes we need in our young people, in our leadership, that we would be emotional, that we would be prophetic, that we would be courageous, and not say no to God and his calling in our lives. Without a purpose, we flounder. But with purpose, you know this, we flourish. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and verse 8 said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the woman who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green, it's not anxious in the year of drought, and it does not cease to bear fruit." What a difference between the tumbleweed and the man or the woman who sets their roots down into the fertile soil of God and his word and never ceases to bear fruit. This tree blooms where it's planted. This tree blooms where it's planted. It's interesting that, I mean, God is so good. And this last, 6 weeks have been a time in my life where I've really done some introspection. I've really allowed God to search my heart more than I have in a long time, because I'm just going through some life transitions right now. Just so you know, I'm still with Hope for the Nations Philippines, but I'm no longer the executive director of Hope for the Nations International. I let go of that position, and I'm stepping into something new. But 7 months ago, I was invited into something new, which never really happened yet. And so here I was a few weeks ago, just, "Lord, I'm trusting you." And I was taking this just a few days to get away out of town and just to really review my life and review, midlife crisis, I don't know. But I'm just reviewing my life and remembering so many of the good things that God has done in my life. It's good to take some time every now and again and just remember the milestones and the good things that God has done, and reflecting back on my leadership, reflecting back on my ability to be a husband and a father, and looking back and saying, "Lord, thank you. What are some, like, what have I learned here? I don't want to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Lord, I need to hear your word, your voice. Where are you leading me to? I felt like I had this very clear direction, and yet it hasn't opened up to me yet. And I'm kind of floundering a little bit, but at the same time, I know it's the right thing to be floundering. But coming away from that time away, great journaling, lots of journaling stuff, but kind of one sentence was, God, I will not stop being a shepherd after you. And then suddenly when I came back into town, you know, the doors finally opened up after 7 months. So it almost seemed like God had to get me to a place of surrender, because I was starting to think of so many other options. Because when you're looking for a job, because I kind of was, you know, I resigned and I was looking for something else in the world I felt called into. But then you think, wow, you know, I can, here's a job over here. And I'm looking every day, you know, looking at the jobs, and man, I could do this and I can get this kind of money. Wow, you know, and I'm getting kind of tempted to the opportunities out there. But then remembering what God's calling is for my life. The last 6 weeks have been a challenge, but God has been so, so faithful. But we find purpose when we allow our roots to go down deep, where we bloom, where we're planted. And that's really been kind of the story of my life, is even though I'm not too sure about where God's leading or what he's doing, I just bloom where I'm planted, allow my roots to go down deep, because we know those roots, they go down and they find nourishment. And I love, I think it's in Psalm 92, it talks, and verse 12, it talks about the righteous flourish like a palm tree. And a palm tree, its roots go down super deep. And one of the reasons why these palm trees grow up until the day of their death is because of their root system. They will go down and down. They'll work hard to find water, to find nourishment. What they'll even do is, if there's some other trees in the vicinity, any other palm trees in the vicinity, their roots will interlock, and they will share resources underneath the surface so that they can have a better chance of survival. What a picture for the church. The question's asked, and I'm sure you heard this, when's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago, right? When's the next best time to plant a tree? Right now, today. And even in our spiritual life, we may go, you know what? I really haven't been allowing my roots to go down deep. My spiritual life is kind of floundering. I'm not really doing amazing with God right now. When's the best time? Not 20 years ago. That's that. Today is the day that I'm going to reacquaint myself with really surrender, and maybe minimizing the things that I do that capture my moments of my day. It's harder today to seek God because of all the distractions. Facebook is ridiculous. I mean, I do Facebook and I'm on Facebook. But to sit down for 1 hour sometimes, you really have to unplug. You really have to say, I'm not going to check my phone. I'm not going to go to my computer. I'm not going to turn on anything, and just be quiet, to be still. The place where God calls you, this is one of my favorite quotes by Frederick Buechner. The place God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Proverbs 11:28. A life devoted to things is a dead life. A life devoted to things is a dead life. Isn't that the truth? A stump. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree, we learn in Proverbs 11:28 in the Message. Colossians 1:16, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started with him and finds its purpose in Christ, its Message. Looking back over my life as I had this time to reflect, that's why some of my stories this morning are going to be back, this fresh stuff that God was teaching me about my walk with Jesus over the last 26 years. But my first purpose that I remember adopting was from a mission agency I first served with. It was called to know God and to make him known. So that was kind of my own personal mission, my own personal purpose that I adopted. And so for the first bit of my life, everything I was doing was kind of be framed within that context of to know God and make him known. But I also have a shadow purpose. A shadow purpose. Point number two. We are tempted by our shadow purpose. Many years ago, before I met Inika, my wife, and got married, I was in a situation. I was in a friendship with a girl who really, really liked me, and I really, really liked the fact that she really, really liked me, but I really, really didn't like her back. You know what I mean? And I was just sort of, you know, I thought, hey, this is cool. This girl likes me. We're friends and da-da-da, whatever. Until one day, my friend Jimmy, he was my mentor, takes me aside, and we start walking along, and Jimmy goes, hey, Patrick, what's going on with this girl? And you go, yeah, she's a friend. Cool, hey? And he basically goes, dude. And literally, he said, dude. He said, he's kind of California kind of guy. Dude, you're leading her on. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know what I mean. He said, is she the one or is she a decoy? And I was like, I think I know what you're getting at. I'm not sure right now. And he just went on to say, you know, one thing you need to realize, and this was such a critical life lesson for me. He said that, you know, it seems from my perspective that you are using her for your own insecurities so you can feel good about yourself. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from? And I said, thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate the input. I'll bring that back to the Lord. And I did. I really did bring that back to the Lord. And I honestly, as I was awakened to a side of me, a shadow side of me, a dark side of me that I didn't realize existed, my insecurities, that I felt really, really special when somebody liked me. And I didn't have the guts at the time to be able to say, hey, great that we're friends. I'm not going to spend quite as much time with you. And really, there's no hope for anything more than that. Ouch. But it was the right thing when I finally did that, because a little bit later on, I was invited back to Maui again. I was invited to be in Youth with a Mission. I was invited to be a leader for two years or more in Maui, you know, places of all places, the places where I almost died. I had an amazing experience there years earlier. And I was invited to this place to serve as a missionary under great leadership at the time. And I was like, yes, I want to do this, when I was asked. But did I really pray about it? No. I remember going back to my family and saying, hey, I feel called to be a missionary in Maui. And their response was, I don't think so. Because I had debt, because the timing just wasn't right in my life. I just wanted to escape working hard in Canada. Eventually, I got to another place of awakening, where it's like, Lord, what is it that you want from me? I know you've got a calling in my life in missions and to serve, but this is really hard. This decision is really hard. I really, really want to do this thing. I really do. But then as I spent time, and actually I was overcome by fear. You ever had fear when you're trying to make a decision and it's frightening, you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do? Eventually, I heard from the Lord, and it was like, no, this is not the right time for you, son. So I came back to Canada, and I spent my time for years working, selling Canadian Springs. It was a drink. Canadian Springs is a drink. I sold that for a long time. I worked in a daycare. I had all these jobs. I painted houses. I did a whole bunch of stuff for a chunk of time when so desperately I wanted to get into my calling. But I went to my missions pastor in the church that I went to at the time, and I said, I feel called to Maui. He goes, no, I don't think so either. And he says, eventually, you might be called to missions, but right now, you're called to be faithful and work, earn money, pay off your debt. And, by the way, grade 7 boys, we got a lot of grade 7 boys in the church. You can be their Sunday school teacher, and we need a youth leader. So I really just volunteered for a few years before, again, the door opened up for me to get involved in missions. And oddly enough, the place that God called me to wasn't Maui or Indonesia or all these places I was really in love with. It was Winfield. Anyone here know where Winfield is? I grew up in Vernon. I lived in Kelowna. And then God called me to Winfield. That's kind of like growing up in like West Van, and then, you know, living in the district of North Vancouver, and then feeling called to the city of North Vancouver. It was kind of like that. So anyway, I ended up spending a number of years there, which is where I met my wife, Inika. And I'm so glad now that I didn't jump the gun, that instead I just waited on God's time and did what he did, what he called me to do. But we're tempted by a shadow purpose. And part of my shadow purpose was to try and jump ahead of God, to try and do this on my own without God's strength, without God's help, without God's direction, because I wanted it so bad. Because I could taste it. I wanted to do this. But I had to do the hard work, the waiting. The waiting is the hardest part, as a 70s singer said, the waiting. Tom Petty, I think his name was. Anyway. Just scratch that from the record. The other morning, Inik and I are just talking, and she's playing a Hall & Oates song from the 80s, and I sang along with her, and she goes, "I'm so glad I married an 80s man." So a decoy. What is a decoy? A decoy is a person or a thing used to mislead or lure an animal or a person into a trap. And I think many times there's lots of decoys set up in our life, and you know we can go after those decoys. And you know it may be a decent opportunity for us, but if we know God's calling us to something more and higher and deeper and more, it's like we're not really walking in the fullness of what God's called us to. God has plans for us that are good, pleasing, and perfect, whether it's to be, you know, a personal assistant, a president, or a pipe fitter, no matter what we do. But we have to navigate these decoys in life that aim to take us off the path of our true purpose. Oh, and the good news is, if you follow decoys all your life, there's still hope. There's still hope. God can turn your decoys into dancing. He can turn your some of your bad decisions with faith, with a context of putting your roots down deep in the presence of God. He can turn things around. So there is hope, but God is calling us to live a life of true purpose. Shadow purpose is an authentic mission that has been derailed, often in imperceptible ways. Part of it what makes the shadow purpose so tempting is that it usually is closely related to our gifts and passions. It's not 180 degrees off track, it's just 10 degrees off track. This is a quote by John Ortberg, who's written a lot about this subject. Sometimes the shadow mission is like, you know, this is who's God called me to be, but then just a little tweak over here, and we settle for second best, and we walk down this path, which isn't quite the same. But if you look at even a 10% trajectory over time, it turns out to be a little bit off the path. But as soon as we recognize this, you know, we can go back onto the path pretty quickly by God's grace. So I've had this painful experience of just recognizing a lot of my shadow missions over and shadow purposes over the last 26 years of knowing Jesus, but even again in a fresh way over the last few weeks. But let me help maybe kind of unpack this a little bit by talking about some modern day people that also have some shadow purposes where they've got a purpose in God, but it's been sidetracked a little bit. I know a leader very well in Cambodia. He's a good friend. And he's got a calling to rescue children that have been trafficked into Thailand, Cambodian children. He's got a calling, and he's a man after God's heart. However, he got a lot more money than he could handle and had the character for. And he allowed a lot of that money to be able to allow corruption to take place in his own heart and his own work, his own ministry. And then when he was confronted, he didn't really receive it well, and then starts lying and hiding and spinning things. And it's sad to see someone that had a very clear, true purpose from God, that there were some decoys, some money, and it led him astray. And we're still praying for him that he actually recognizes that, you know, this has brought harm to his soul. It's a modern-day shadow purpose. Riches have a good way of being able to test our true motives. Another one. Well, this isn't so modern, but this is another 80s person. Amy Carmichael, the 1880s. In the 1880s, she was a teenager growing up in Belfast, Ireland. Many of you know her as a woman who rescued hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of child prostitutes in India, those that were inside the temples. And she, when she was a young girl in the 80s, she had brown eyes. Maybe you've heard the story before. She had brown eyes. And she wanted so badly to fit in and to be special and to be amazing, she thought, that she wanted her eyes to turn blue. And she was just a new Christian. And she felt that God had the power to change the color of her eyes. And she would just pray, and she'd open up her eyes, and she found herself surprised that her eyes did not turn blue. Her eyes never did turn blue. But then, later on, she was called to India, and she was able to put a covering over her head, walk into the temples, and rescue children because she had brown eyes. If she had blue eyes, she would not have been able to do the true calling that she had. So maybe her shadow mission as a young person was to fit in, to be popular. But God had greater plans for her that even she did not realize when she was young. God has true purposes for us, and many times we don't even understand them now, but down the road, because God is so smart. He knows us way better than we know ourselves, and we can trust a God like that, right? Amen? A couple of shadow purposes. We got till about 10, 20, 30? No, okay. A couple of shadow purposes from people from the Bible. We talked about Jeremiah, and we're getting a lot of our text out of Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah's shadow purpose was also to be normal, to fit in, to have a wife and children. That was his dream. But before he was in his mother's womb, Scripture says he was sanctified and called by God to be a prophet to the nations. Was it easy? No. He had a ridiculously difficult life. But yet, at the end of the day, he was obedient to his God, and he found success in the fact that he was obedient to his God. And he planted seeds and warned of judgment, and he did crazy things, and he wept for a nation where no one else wept for the nation that was in such turmoil and adrift, really. Queen Esther, for such a time. Queen Esther had a shadow mission to be pampered in a life of privilege and comfort and ease without responsibility. Doesn't that sound awesome? She was the queen. She got there. She was an orphan girl that was rescued and raised by her uncle Mordecai. And through an incredible series of events where, you know, King Xerxes kind of gets rid of his previous queen Vashti because she kind of is insubordinate, and then he launches out on this, you know, Persian idol, you know, type of, you know, let's get the best looking woman in the whole land campaign, and he comes up with Esther. So long story short, Esther gets chosen out of hundreds and hundreds of the most beautiful women of the land, and wins Persian idol and wins the jackpot and becomes the queen of one of the largest empires. And so in this place of position, she had it made. People honored her. People respected her. She probably looked pretty amazing. She probably was very comfortable. But into that setting, cousin Mordecai, or Uncle Mordecai, comes over to her and says, "Hey, let's have a talk here. You know what's going on? An edict is going to be decreed where all of us, we are Jews," because she was Jewish, and her king husband did not know that. She was Jewish, Mordecai was Jewish, and there was an edict coming to kill all the Jews in the lands. And she was faced with a pretty important decision. Does she stay in a life of being pampered and being beautiful, or does she risk her life potentially going to the king where she's not summoned and say, "Hey, this is not right, stop it"? And we know the end of the story. She rises up in her courage. She throws aside her shadow purpose and rises up in her mission. And because of her obedience, because of God's grace, a Holocaust is averted. And eventually Mordecai becomes the prime minister of the land. And what I love about we don't really talk about Mordecai very much at the end of his life, but he had incredible influence. And he was an advocate for the Jewish people all over the land because he was given the platform. And he wouldn't have had that platform if his daughter, who he raised, followed her shadow purpose. She followed her true purpose. Aren't we glad for that today? Many people have a shadow purpose for comfort and ease in this nation that we live in. It's just so wonderful to be comfortable and at ease. And it's a good thing. It's a gift. At the same time, if God has called us to more than that, you know, each and every one of us in our time need to go before God and say, Lord, is there something more that you have called me into that I am missing out because I'm hanging on to my shadow? A study was done by New York Times columnist David Brooks. And the study, some of the interesting points of the study ended up being that a question was asked to young people across America. This wasn't Canada, so I don't know if this takes place in Canada too. But the question was asked to young people, would you rather be the president of Harvard, or would you rather be the personal assistant to a celebrity like Justin Bieber? And it'd be interesting to know what the result was. 3 in 1 young people in the United States would rather be a personal assistant to a celebrity than to be a president of a university. That's insane. But it shows the culture. It shows that a lot of our culture is on a shadow mission to be famous, to be known, to be heard and listened to. And I think the true purpose that God has such a vision for this nation and for the young people of this nation to rise up and be true to who they are and to be followers of Christ and be bold in the marketplace and the schools. But we settle for fame, to be known, to be recognized, to get a snapshot, a selfie, to get a video, to get myself known. And it really shows the cry of all of us that we want our voices to be heard. We want our face to be seen. But we don't really want to go through the hard work of listening to other people's voices and serving other people's voices until the time when we have enough credibility to have a voice of our own. Shadow purposes, they're painful because it cuts into each of our souls. Point number 3, we need courage to rise up and overcome the dark side of our shadow purpose. We all have a dark side to some degree that is hidden in the shadows because we all have brokenness. We all have a level of brokenness. Being aware of our shadow purpose and the decoys that come our way is critical to bring the light of Christ into our shadows, but often we can't do this alone. We need humility, Jesus, obviously, and community. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man and woman according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deed. We need to face our shadow mission with humility and Jesus in community. Starts with the courage to be honest. Humility. I was reminded of another story recently of an important part in my life when I was leading my first ever missions trip. And it was to Guatemala, and I was 25 years old, and I had 25, about 23 to 25 people in my team, ranging in age from 18 to 40, from 7 different cultures of the world, and I was leading them for 3 months on the road in Guatemala. I didn't speak Spanish, and I was their prime leader, and taking care of food, transportation, preaching, serving, buildings, everything. And it was a responsibility I didn't really want, but I was sort of pushed into by the Holy Spirit. And so I was like, Lord, I need you. In fact, I called this the Help Me, O God tour. I don't know what I'm doing, help. And for the first month or so on this trip, God was really showing himself strong. And I was like, this is okay, I can do this. I'm being a pretty good leader here, I can do this all right. And I remember having a little bit of, you know, pride cropping up in my life. And I was thinking, man, maybe I don't need to pray so much anymore. That's taking a lot of time. I can just do other things. And I was approached by this couple. They were probably in their early 30s, had a young child, and they came from Poland. And so they approached me and said, Patrick, how do you think this trip is going so far? I think it's going okay. He goes, Patrick, I don't know why you're leading this trip, but we don't think you're a very good leader. And I don't know why the leadership put you in charge of this team, because I don't think you're ready for this. You're not a very good leader. You're not listening to us. You're doing your own thing. And I was like, oh. Because part of my shadow purpose is for people to like me and people to like affirm me and say, good job, Patrick. You know, you're doing all right. Awesome, dude. I didn't get that. In fact, I got a very harsh word. And I just remember saying, oh, okay. Thanks for telling me that. I'll get right back to you. And so I remember just, okay, team, the rest of the day is off. You guys can do whatever you want. I'm busy. And I really just went into my room, closed the door, and said, oh, God, I thought I was doing good. Help. And I just remember going to that secret place, that quiet place, and saying, God, show my heart. Search my heart. You know, what's going on inside? Because I thought I was doing good, but as I really waited on the Lord, I knew that I had pride. I had issues in my life where it was me that was leading this trip. It turned into me, not the Lord. And after, you know, just several hours, I really felt a sense of peace because I just repented and turned away. And I said, Lord, I kind of blown this. I'm so sorry. And the Lord sang a song over me. And I had it in my Bible for many, many years, but it's called Precious Child, an old 80s vineyard song. And some of the words go, show me, dear Lord, how you see me through your eyes, so that I can realize your great love for me. Teach me, O Lord, that I am precious in your sight, that as a father loves a child, so you love me. And the chorus goes, I am yours because you've chosen me. I am yours because you've called my name. And your steadfast love will never change. And I will always be your precious child. And I just remember saying, Lord, thank you. I'm your son. That's what I needed right now. I didn't need encouragement from a team person. I need encouragement from you. I need to hear from you directly. And that changed my life, because I was beginning to walk in my shadow mission, my shadow purpose, and it could have changed everything. If that didn't go detected, that could have gotten worse and worse, and I could have become a much more self-centered, egotistical leader. But by the grace of God, God used this couple. And I went back to them, and I apologized and stuff, and I went to my team, and I was just really trying to be as humble as I could to say, hey, you know, give me a new chance here. And then God, in his mercy, kind of redeemed the whole thing. But I almost went too far down the shadow purpose track. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. It's part of our daily dose of God. Search my heart, God. Test me. See if there's any anxious thoughts in me. Dr. Henry Cloud, who I've also been reading a bit lately, Boundaries for Leaders, and another one called Necessary Endings, he says this: we grow in part by confessing our faults and weaknesses to each other. If we are always being strong and without needs, we're not growing. We are setting ourselves up for a very dangerous fall. So we need to search me, God. We need God. We need each other. We need safe people that we can go to and allow safe people into our life to be able to speak truth. My wife is very good at speaking truth to me, and sometimes I don't like it. And realize, in just being away this last little while, when I took those few days off, you know, so much of what she tells me is true, and so much of my shadow mission does not want to receive that. And what I'm learning is how critical it is to receive the correction from people, the input from people, and even if it's just off a little bit, I still have my responsibility to go to God with it. Not to fight it, not to react to it, not to be defensive, to go to God with it and learn from it and not be offended. That's the hard part, to not be offended. But it's possible for the grace of God. James 1:12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. God promises. God promises. His promises are good. If we endure. If we endure. And so much of this comes when we just allow ourselves to allow our roots to go down deep, to bloom where we're planted, to be the person of God that God has called us to be. My last point, which will be brief, which could be also, this could be a whole other sermon down the track. Point number four, with Jesus, we find our purpose and flourish. With Jesus, we find our purpose and flourish. Jesus' shadow purpose was to be Messiah and wear a crown without suffering, without the cross. Jesus overcame his shadow purpose and now gives us insight and power to overcome ours. I'm not going to go deeply on this point, but just to know that Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. Jesus was tempted by the devil. And he said, Lord, later on in his final hours on this earth, he said, Lord, take this cup. And yet he overcame. And God gives each and every one of us the power to overcome because Jesus in us is greater than he that is living in the world. He gives us the power to overcome as we do this in humility, in community, and first and foremost for Jesus and with Jesus. Psalm 23, just ending with Psalm 23 as potentially just a psalm for us to reflect on. And even during the course of the week, remembering the power in this psalm. And I'll just read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. Bloom where you're planted.
Thank you, Patrick. We're going to pray, and I think, Patrick, what you shared was good, right, and true. We're created to live in the purpose that God has for us. That's where we fit the best. That's where true life comes from. That's how we were designed. And when we step into that, there is so much good in that. Peace, joy, the life, the fullness of life that John 10:10 talks about. So why don't we pray? And let's ask God. You know, there are probably areas in our own lives where we have maybe stepped out or started chasing after our shadow purposes. We found ourselves kind of that 10 degree off track somewhere. And why don't we ask God to search our heart? And that he would show us, reveal those things where we have done that, and then cause us to move and desire to move back in line with what God has for us. So, God, we come to you today, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for the words that Patrick shared this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word to our hearts, Father, your desire for us, Lord Jesus. God, you have a calling and you have a purpose on our lives, Lord Jesus. And Father, we know that the enemy also would love to just have us off track, that 10 degrees off track. But Lord, we know that in you we find our joy, our purpose, the fullness of life is found in you, on your path, in your calling, in your way. And so Lord Jesus, we would invite you to search our heart. We would invite you to reveal to us, to show us, Lord Jesus, God, where are those areas in our lives, Father, we're that following that shadow purpose. Father, our heart's cry is that we would be in line with what you have for us. So God, reveal that to us and help us that courage that we need to take those steps, Lord Jesus, to move back onto the path that you have for us. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that you have plans and purposes for us, God. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we trust you have a great Sunday. There's coffee out there. I'm going to be back at the information table. So if you've got questions on anything, I'll be there. And thank you. May God bless you. Have a great week.